I'm excited to welcome back to the show David Schlossberg, because David, who we've had on the show before, is an attorney. We've had him on the show before when we were talking actually last year. I believe, David, correct me if I'm wrong, it was regarding the Stone Academy settlement. But recently, you've been the leading authority here in Connecticut for our state's unfair trade practices law. And I want to talk about social media, because earlier this month, major legal developments happened, including a jury awarding over $370 million against Meta for violating unfair trade practices law by failing to safeguard users of its apps from child predators. And then there was another lawsuit in LA, very similar, where, again, awarding for damages and punitive damages against Meta as well as YouTube. So I thought you'd be the perfect person to talk about this, and welcome back to the show.
Oh, good morning, Melissa. Thank you for having me on. It was quite a week last week. I think somewhat of a seismic shift. You have the two verdicts that came out, and there are other cases that are percolating up through the system around the country. The California case against Meta and YouTube was really a direct action challenging the addictive nature of Meta and YouTube, and that was by an individual plaintiff, for impact on children. So that it was addictive. And then the New Mexico case, which was brought by public prosecutors, was more focused on direct harmful conduct in the way that there's content that is directed towards children. So things like sexual abuse and other kinds of things that weren't regulated. So between the two of them, with the $375 million verdict in New Mexico and then the millions of dollars in the California case, it has to, I think, make the Meta and other platforms start to rethink how they're going to regulate their own conduct. Both cases did involve, particularly the New Mexico case, the unfair trade practices statute, and our CUTPA statute here in Connecticut, the Unfair Trade Practices Act, is very similar. And certainly after the decision in 2019 from the Connecticut Supreme Court in Soto versus Bushmaster, we have opportunities here to be able to bring unfair trade practices cases for personal injuries that arise. So all of that creates, my guess is there's going to be more litigation.
Right.
That was my
immediate question, Attorney Schlossberg, does this now lead to, I would think this makes it a whole lot easier for more states to have these types of lawsuits actually go through.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, one of the things that plaintiffs and lawyer and their counsel have been navigating is Section 230 of the 1996 Communications Decency Act. And really what that did is it provided immunity for these platforms for posting any content that is created by third parties. And so, I mean, that was exactly 30 years ago, right? So in the 30 years, we now have a whole lot of information about that. And what plaintiffs and lawyers are looking at now is not the content so much, but the conduct of these platforms. For example, instant notification and infinite scrolling and algorithms that direct certain kinds of harmful conduct to children. So that that's really what these two cases, the California, New Mexico cases and the success in those, has highlighted, that you really can go after that conduct.
So again, we've got David Schlossberg here, and David, I want to remind folks, so you are the leading authority in Connecticut on our state's unfair trade practices law, and I'm curious what sort of your reaction was, besides the fact that, yes, this absolutely, I think, kind of creates a much easier way to have these lawsuits and to have successful wins, at least from a victim standpoint, but how do these major platforms respond? You know, if you're a Meta or you're a YouTube, I would think this is a real turning point for them. I mean, when you talk about allegations of being addictive or having child predators easily be able to access users, I mean, this to me is a real turning point for them to go, wait a minute, we can't really afford to keep kind of dishing out money to people who have been impacted, because at this point we know that number is great in America.
Yeah, you know, Melissa, first of all, you're very kind. There's some very wonderful lawyers who practice, you know, and under CUTPA in the state, and I'm one of them. But, you know, I will say this. Meta last year made $60 billion in profits, $375 million in one case and $6 million in another. By itself, probably is not enough to really change conduct. I think it's going to cause these platforms to really take a harder look. So there's probably, it's all about the almighty dollar. And my guess is that when it hits some kind of critical mass, people will change their conduct. So that probably involves a lot more things happening in the courts. I can't say that I'm confident that being a good corporate citizen is going to motivate folks to change their conduct when there's so much money at stake. You know, and here we are at the beginning of the AI revolution. And my guess is that if you think this is an issue on Meta, think about what this could mean for artificial intelligence and how that's going to be applied. And now kids are going to have access to that as well. So my hope is that we're living through, you know, the first shot, Paul Revere's running down, you know, it's this is the moment where things are starting, and it's going to then go from there.
We're chatting with attorney David Slossberg, talking about some of the big announcements this month, a jury awarding $375 million against Meta for violating New Mexico's unfair trade practices, their law, I should say, by failing to safeguard users from its apps from child predators. Another lawsuit with an L.A. jury awarding a single plaintiff $3 million for certain damages, another $3 million for others against Meta and YouTube following allegations that the design features were intended to be addictive. So my question for you, Attorney Slossberg, is I know that you've represented cases regarding our state's unfair trade practices law. My first question would be, what is your legal advice to anyone who feels that their children have been exposed or the addictive measures that are used on these apps, allegedly? If they feel they have a case, what would you suggest they do?
Well, parents must be really struggling to try to help their kids and to manage, you know, the time that they're spending on social media. I mean, if there really is a very, you know, serious situation, and we're talking about, there's been some terrible, terrible stories about child suicides and, I mean, awful things and mental illness and difficulties. And if there really is something like that, then they can always consult with a lawyer to talk about what the case is and to assess whether or not it's something that can be pursued and is worth being pursued. It's pretty horrible, some of the stories that I have heard, you know, and it's difficult. So that's one way certainly to navigate the cases. And our CUTPA statute really does provide a platform, an opportunity to try to get some relief. It's never going to, I mean, the thing about practicing law that you learn is all you can get is money damages, and it doesn't really fix the seriousness of problems that people face. But that's the best you can do oftentimes. And certainly the other thing about CUTPA is It has an opportunity for injunctive relief. You can try to affect policy through court orders about what companies can and cannot do to try to affect conduct.
The other thing, too, Attorney Slossberg, is from a law standpoint, or I should say lawmaker standpoint, rather, that I know in Connecticut we are continuing to try to pass laws to better protect kids online. I know that even at the national level, Senator Blumenthal has tried the Kids Online Safety Act. I mean, do you feel that those things are effective, or are there things that we could be doing proactively now? Or is it really sort of, again, not to say, because I am a parent of the kids that are that generation where they've only known a life that's been online. I've got a 7-year-old. Is it more sort of falling on, you know, we have to be proactively engaged, understanding, leaning in, and knowing these platforms? Or are there things that lawmakers could do at the local and even national level to combat this?
Well, see, this is a little bit of trial and error. It's a very imperfect process, and I think many lawmakers are well-meaning. So we're going to have to find out, right? So there's legislation to limit certain kinds of tools that are provided, for example, on these platforms. You know, some of the instant notification and infinite scrolling, and how algorithms are used to direct. Really inappropriate content to children. So there are going to be efforts, but it's got to be a team effort. I mean, obviously, parents are with their kids in the house and they're doing the best they can. And then we're going to see what works and what doesn't. And then we're going to try again, because we really are at the beginning of this. Even though it feels like Facebook/Meta has been around forever, it really hasn't. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have to, I do think that legislation is very important. And I know what Senator Blumenthal is working on is something that's, I know, can be helpful. So we'll see. But the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, no question, no question. Attorney David Slossberg, I always appreciate getting your insight, and certainly we'll track this. And are there currently any cases in Connecticut? I know the Attorney General has been certainly, I believe, has been attacking Meta for some of these things. But I think that's kind of a multi-state effort, but I didn't know if we had any kind of pending cases right now.
I think that there's one that I know of that is pending. But I really do think that what the other thing is, people don't know. So now that these verdicts have really gotten so much attention, it probably causes folks to say, wait a second. I thought that there was nothing I could do. And so my expectation, and that's really, you know, the Wall Street Journal, all these publications are sort of predicting, and I think many write, that there's going to be additional litigation. People are going to go, wait a second, I actually have a remedy. I'm not prohibited from bringing a claim. And so I expect that there will be more litigation.
Attorney Slossberg of Hurwitz, Sagarin & Slossberg, LLC, right here in Milford. Thank you so much. I'm sure we're going to talk again really soon.